Thanks for joining the A Dimeback Podcast. I am Tyler Wilkinson, and we're joined by...
Hi, I'm Alex Cohen, producer of the podcast.
I'm Megan Bard, writer, and still the token chick.
I am Peter Bard, the one who's right about any disagreements.
So Kevin Duffy, good friend of ours from the Connecticut Post, put together a media poll about the top 10 best UConn players, and he wanted it sort of with an immediate reaction to Baz's career. So we did it, and we had a lot of internal arguments about it, and we'll tell you our poll in a little bit. But I do think that's sort of fair. I mean, if you think about the course of these last 2 years and just how low UConn was when Calhoun left and the band was coming, the ban was coming. I don't know if I said the band. But you think about when the ban was coming and imagine George Blaney is the coach instead of Kevin Ollie. You know, imagine Shabazz transfers and this team falls in the hands of, you know, Ryan Boatwright as a sophomore. You know, the tale of UConn, where now they are, you know, the crown jewel of basketball. Stores is the basketball capital of the world again. And
Woo-hoo!
And incredible. I mean, just...
Makes me so happy.
Oh, just to talk, I mean, just UConn's hearing the words.
Stock,
like a butterfly.
UConn's stock is just so high, and
fuck you,
I don't think
ACC,
there's any,
you want us now.
Any doubt that, you know, Napier and Ollie, for that matter, are, you know, the most responsible for that.
They're the linchpin.
And at some point, that's worth something. I mean, we talk about all the time, or at least I do, when I talk about the greatest UConn players, and I talk about Donyell Marshall and how he was the best player to come to UConn, and then he thrived there and became, you know, an NBA lottery pick, and that sort of paved the way for players sort of similar to him to think that that path existed for them at UConn.
Yeah, I mean, Donyell gave way to Ray Allen, who gave way to Caron Butler, who gave way to Emeka Okafor and Ben
Rip
Gordon.
Rip before him, yeah.
Well, Rip before him. I mean, there are certain players who definitely had, I mean, like Chris Smith was the, you know, he was kind of the guy before Donyell. He wasn't nearly as highly touted as Donyell.
I mean, Chris Smith at the time was probably the best player UConn had ever had, but he was not a national star.
No.
Donyell was a star.
Yeah.
And I think he proved that that could exist at UConn. And I think, you know, when I evaluate sort of the course of UConn history, especially the Calhoun era and just the path that they paved from there, you know, I've always given Donyell sort of extra credit for being that first guy who even though he, you know, couldn't win a championship or get to a Final Four, really set that bar in motion. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see where time takes us. You know, it's been 20 years since Donyell left. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, in 20 years, obviously, how we feel about
Shabazz.
What Shabazz did for the program, but at the moment,
and even Kemba,
you
to
can
an
make
extent.
A very very similar argument about Kemba. But you know, even when Kemba was there, Kemba at the time was probably the biggest star in college basketball. But UConn still had Calhoun. You know, Calhoun was the face of UConn, and Kemba sort of captured it all for, you know, a month and a half in the national spotlight. But
and Shabazz, I mean, for as ignored as we felt, Shabazz was constantly talked about in ESPN's basketball coverage. I mean, when they talked about the Wooden Awards, I mean, like, you'd hear about Doug McDermott then, but then you'd also hear... But then you'd
also... For some
reason,
those old white sports writers really love Doug McDermott. I don't know what it is about him.
So over the goofy white dude.
But then you have... I mean, like, there was this big storyline all season of the three guards from... The five guards from the AAC, because you got Joe Jackson and Nick Moore from SMU, but the five guards from the American really did get some play this year. So while Shabazz didn't quite have the star power that Kemba had, I mean, at least he was recognized by some.
Yeah, and I mean, we can be honest about this. Kemba was much better as a basketball player than Shabazz.
Yes,
but
he finished at the rim.
And
actually,
I wrote this piece.
I think Shabazz was a smarter player than Kemba was.
Well, Kemba had more.
I mean, he had to be.
Kemba had more physical gifts. I mean, Kemba was quicker, and he finished better at the rim. But Shabazz was crafty. He used the whole. He used his team really well. He was good. He was good at you know, orchestrating that offense and also orchestrating the defense.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can all see that.
So I guess without
it should be noted that
Walker was also a sensational defender and ranked as like a top five defender in the country that year.
Yes, he was.
Ironically, I thought that freshman year when Baz played alongside Walker was Shabazz's best defensive year, I thought.
Shabazz
was a pretty amazing on-ball defender when he played in the backcourt with Walker.
I think he got back to it, particularly the end of the season. Watching him pick the Harrison twins' pockets was an awful lot for me.
You also have to remember, too, that this season there was more demanded of him than any other year in college. He had to play more minutes this year than he played, 38 minutes a game?
Yeah. And when it's your job to lead your team in points, steals, and rebounds, you can be forgiven if your on-ball defense lacks. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. You can be forgiven if your defensive stature sort of dips. So without further ado, I wanted to get to this. So what we did was all four of us submitted lists ranking, and then I sort of averaged them out to get our top 10 list. And I think in Duffy's list, Okafor won. I was pretty shocked
that's
at
silliness.
Bruce
that's
made a good silliness. but Peter made a good point. You can argue it, but
if you're really going to argue with me that Emeka Okafor was a better player than Ray Allen, then you haven't watched enough UConn basketball.
Well, is Ray Allen your number one?
Honestly, he was my number one when we did the ultimate. I have a really hard time.
She had him number two.
I have a really hard time picking between Ray and Kemba.
Do you think Kemba was a better player than Ray?
Because
he wasn't. You know he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
If we're going strictly by who was the best performer on the court, it was Ray.
Allen.
But there are other factors.
46% career three-point shooter or something.
I think the problem with this is that everybody comes in with their own what's important.
Your own criteria.
Your own criteria of what's important to you. And some of us place more weight on certain things. Some of us place more weight.
And don't get me wrong, Emeka Okafor was a great player, and he won a national championship. But he won it with Ben Gordon. It wasn't.
He won it on the most stacked team UConn's ever had.
And it wasn't. It wasn't the '99 team that was the first one that got over the hoop. It wasn't the 2011.
I think where you're going with that, I think this probably has more to do with it than anything. But 2004 just feels like the least important of the championships.
Far and away the least important.
And it's the only other time that both of them won.
At the time, it certainly did not. In hindsight,
that gave it the program such credibility as like a real elite.
Absolutely.
Now we've won a second one. Like, we have multiple championships.
And the women won it that
and it
year
got Calhoun.
Too.
When two is greater than one became a thing for us against Syracuse.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's our averaged list. Start from 10 and go down. Okay, we actually did 12 because some of us had different ones and we wanted to get them all in there. So our number 12 was Daron Sheffer.
Love me some Chef.
Our number 11 was Uncle Cliffy, Cliff Robinson. Then 10, Caron Butler, 9, Khalid El-Amin, 8, Ben Gordon, 7, Chris Smith, 6, Danielle Marshall. We had Emeka Okafor at 5.
Where he belongs.
Then we had Shabazz at 4, followed by Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, and Kemba Walker at number 1. So, our list clearly differentiated a lot from the from the other media list.
A lot of people are giving credit to Okafor for being a national player of the year. He really was the national player of the year that Jameer Nelson won it. And
he won one of the awards.
And he should have won all of them.
Yeah.
But
so should Kemba, though, frankly.
Yeah, Kemba.
So should Kemba, and so should have Ray Allen.
Yep.
Yes.
How do you put Emeka over Rip Hamilton? That's the other one.
Because he was a better player than Hamilton.
Oh, man. See, I don't know about that.
Terms of how much he produced on the floor, Okafor was definitely the
better
player.
Maybe it's just that I like guards better.
The other thing that you have to consider here, though, is that having that kind of value at a big man position in college basketball is incredibly valuable. It's like a second baseman in baseball. If you get a great second baseman, then that's incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Because in college, big men are so doofy and commit so many fouls and just don't know how to, so many of them are growing into their positions because when you get somebody who's actually competent, who can do it, who's a national player of the year candidate, that's incredibly, you put Emeka Okafor on any UConn team in the last 4 years, they immediately become a legit title contender.
Don't get me wrong. Emeka Okafor was a great player. I'm not saying that. I just don't. The argument that he's better than Ray Allen, it just makes my head explode. Like, no, dude. No.
Here's the thing, though. We're blessed to be part of this university that that where we can have the kind of the kind of argument where there's no way that Emeka Okafor could be put above Ray Allen. But if you look at it from an outsider's perspective, you could actually probably put them on par. They're like, oh yeah, they're, I mean, like, look at all these great players that went to UConn. You know, and meanwhile, we're getting down to like the finest details of, like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's also hard to separate them from their NBA careers, where Ray Allen is a Hall of Famer and Okafor has suffered through a lot of injuries this last. Yeah.
And you
years.
Also,
I really need to finish that. Tournament project.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got it. You also have to look at.
We should announce it on here because then I'll actually do it.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Do it right now.
Okay. So I've actually been working on this for like literally like 10 years.
You are like a freak.
Poking at it and like making little tweaks here and there for literally a decade, where I put together a 64 team tournament. In my mind, the top 64 college programs are represented based on their all-time team. So like UConn's all-time team. So you have like Okafor and Danielle and Ray Allen all on the same team. But like then UNC's all-time team with Rasheed Wallace and Michael Jordan and James Worthy, et cetera, et cetera. UCLA, Duke, Michigan, and whatnot. And down to like, I think Creighton's in there. I've got UMass. A buddy of mine asked me to do, what was the dumb school I did?
UMass.
Where did Nick from? No, I guess it was Creighton. Okay.
All right.
Yes, Creighton was in there. So anyway, point I'm trying to make is I, like a year ago, told Tyler that we should put this on the website, and I have not finished it yet.
It's a good, but it's a good off-season.
It's
thing
a good summer project.
It's a great summer project.
So I think what we should do is, I don't know, I'll reveal my starting lineup for UConn.
Since you've already done so much work, do you want to do more work and come up with benches for all of the teams, too? Oh,
they all God. Have benches. I have starting lineups.
Oh, my God.
They all have benches.
What do you think this is? What fucking asshole do you think I am? I want it. And it's set up this very weird way. Like, the guy didn't necessarily have to play that position, but, like, I want to build the best possible roster.
Oh, man. You are a
for every team. Like, we're going to really play this tournament. That's what's in my head. Like, find a time machine.
So, like, Bill Walton probably played exclusively center, but because Abdul-Jabbar is on UCLA, he's going to play power forward for you?
Starting power forward for UCLA. Right. Fine. Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
All right,
so,
cool.
Like,
well, get on that, Peter.
So, Bill what's Walton. The UConn? Give us the UConn starting lineup. Do it right now.
Starting lineup. And this is, I've changed it many times. This is the one I think I've settled on. Like in the last 6 weeks, this is what the one I decided.
So give us the starters and the bench.
Do it.
All right. So my starting center is Emeka Okafor. Obviously. Surprising no one. Do you want backups and then, or do you want me to do the whole starting lineup?
Just give us the whole thing. Just do it.
All right. Power forward, Danielle. Small forward, I went with Richard Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Allen at shooting guard. Kemba at point guard.
Ooh, that's a good team.
Oof, man. Okay. I like it.
Second team, backups. Backup center, Cliff Robinson.
Oh.
Okay.
Backup power forward, Toby Kimball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Small forward, Caron Butler. Shooting guard, Ben Gordon. And point guard, recently changed this one, had been Chris Smith, is now Shabazz Napier.
Yes.
I had originally had Rip as my backup shooting guard, but I was like, I want the best five guys on the floor, one. And two, he played exclusively small forward his sophomore and junior year.
See, this is a very interesting exercise because if you talked about it from, I think you're right on with your starting lineup, you know, for best player at those positions. But when you get into like the best team, you know, if you have all those shooters on the team, does it make sense to have more of a distributor like Sheffer at a point guard? Or if you have all those you know, if you have those guys, does it make more sense to have the beat as the defensive backup center over Cliff Robinson?
I thought about that, but I couldn't get over how badly the beat got dominated when he actually faced elite competition.
Yeah.
Whereas Kimball was a legit pro. Like, he was one of the best rebounders in the NBA. So I thought, as my, you know, if my backup center is a stretch guy like Cliff, it'll be nice to have a real low post power forward.
I love how much thought he's
and then
into.
Also,
of course, these guys.
Okay,
are like
guys, but he hasn't just done this for UConn. He's done this for every team.
Right.
For 64 teams,
and he's put
put as much effort into the other 63.
But you put in 85% as much effort.
I would like you to right now estimate the number of hours you spent on this project.
I mean, here's the thing: they weren't like I'm locked in a dungeon somewhere. I spent a lot of time digging around, not doing much. And then I also like the idea, you know, Butler's a more physical forward to come in and spell Rip. So, like, those things work together. And
well,
for the guards,
the other
question, just the best players.
The other question, too, is do you play a small lineup? Do you go Emeka plus the four best guards?
I was thinking you go the opposite and you play the beat at center and Emeka at power forward.
John Gellett, small forward.
Yeah.
It's nice that we're in this position where we have this much history now where we can talk about all the awesome players that have come through.
Let me read off Duffy's list before we go. So this was, I guess, credit all this to Duffy because his voting might have been completely different. But this was the result of the media poll, which Duffman published. So I'll go in reverse order again. Number 10, Khalid El-Amin. Number 9, Chris Smith. 8, Caron Butler. 7, Ben Gordon. 6, Danielle Marshall. 5, Shabazz Napier. 4, Kemba, who we had number 1.
That's bullshit.
That's crazy to me. 3, Richard Hamilton. 2, Ray Allen. And 1, Emeka Okafor.
I don't like that list at all. Caron over Chris Smith is stupid.
I don't think it's that stupid. I think Caron was really, really good.
It depends, you know,
he
your qualifications. Again,
2 years, man. Like,
I mean, he was much better than Chris Smith. Chris Smith probably had a more...
Chris Smith is this all-time leading...
More successful total body of work, I guess.
And well, also, as Alex pointed out, he was the first really good player to come to UConn. I mean, Caron had two very good seasons, but the team didn't really do anything when he was there, so...
Yeah, I mean, that
they made a very improbable Elite Eight.
That was that huge Big East tournament win over Pitt. Like, yep. That was a pretty fun season.
Absolutely.
Did all three of you guys have Khalid in your top 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Did I? I have to look. I don't remember what my top 10 was. I know I had Caron way lower than all of you guys.
What was that, Bruce?
I definitely did not have him in mind, and I feel like I'm one of the. I feel like he's regarded higher than I personally regard him.
He's the all-time point-wise. He had the best freshman season in UConn history. I think that's an interesting stat. As a sophomore, when he was a sophomore,
13.9 points per game.
I think when one of those years, he and Hamilton were the highest scoring duo.
It would have been his freshman year,
replaced only recently by Lamb and Kemba.
Because Hamilton scored the same amount as a sophomore as he did as a junior, and El-Amin scored more as a freshman than he does as a sophomore.
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting, the other college stat I love, which is if he had replicated his exact junior season during a senior season, he left a year early, which in hindsight he really should not have. If he had come back and reproduced the exact same points, he would have passed Chris Smith as UConn's all-time leading scorer.
That's interesting.
These are Khalid El-Amin facts.
I wonder, and the thing is, how good would that team have been?
By the way, shout out to...
pretty good, because Caron would have been a freshman.
Shout out to Porter with the Khalid photos.
I loved those.
On Twitter for the tough moments in those games.
Just retweeting.
I feel like they helped.
I know, I feel like there should be some like robot Twitter account that just every hour or two just pops up a Khalid photo.
We could probably make that happen.
that's another summer goal. We'll do that in the summer.
All right. Have we exhausted this topic?
Absolutely. All right, everybody, that's it for today's edition of the A Dime Back podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again when we are still national champions.